found on so many levels. First off, he is overestimating his own skills. Second, he is underestimating the challenges and the complexity of the threats from around the world. But most of all, he is deeply, deeply mischaracterizing those who rose up to challenge and question his policies. These were school teachers and snowplow drivers and nurses and parents of children with autism and other challenges, seniors who were concerned about their care. This was not just a union protest in Wisconsin. It was an anti-austerity protest. And it was incredibly diverse, incredibly, and I will use the word beautiful. You were there, Amy. And I think to try and suggest that disrespecting peaceful protest that literally went out of its way to stop at stoplights, you know, to let people cross. It's so wrong. And I think it raises profound questions. Not, you know, you can get angry about all this, but I think it raises profound questions about whether Governor Walker really begins to understand what he's talking about as regards global threats, but also begins to understand how a president should look at the people he would serve.
Final question. We only have 10 seconds. Back to our first story, FCC, the major decision around net neutrality. You said you debated Tim Wu whether the term net neutrality should be the one that was used a decade ago.
You started the show with Tim Wu, and Tim did not blow his horn hard enough. He and I have both been involved for a long time with the group Free Press, and Tim really was the person who argued for using the term net neutrality so we understood the net, internet, and that it had to be neutral with all forces. He was a profound figure in this. And frankly, you couldn't have picked a better guest to start the show with.
Well, thank you, John Nichols, political writer for The Nation, author of Uprising. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Has a job opening, a part-time camera operator to work on our live broadcast here in New York. Go to Democracy Now!
All right. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 8 o'clock. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Right after this. I need to tell you that the preceding program was made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune into KBOO every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time.
And good morning. Good morning. It is, in fact, about 6 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning.
And you're listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lynn, and I'm here with Tallulah Bankhead. Or Brenda Vaccaro. We're not sure which this morning. It's one of the two.
Depends on your cultural reference, I suppose. I've got my sexy voice. Yes, anyway. Good morning. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are here with you this morning, wanting to sort of launch straight into the tempeh of this morning's discussion, because there's no time to waste. We're going to be talking about bigotry and hatred directed against transgender people and people who do not conform to socially reinforced binary gender roles. And to help us do that, to help us unpack this, and to talk about her experiences, we are joined by Teresa Mitchell.
Good morning.
Teresa, for those that might not know, is another radio producer here at KABU. She's the host of the weekly counter-propaganda show Press Watch. Not only is she a fine radio producer in her own right, she's also a transgender woman. And in the interest of absolutely full disclosure, she's my main squeeze. Good morning. And with that, we move on. It's one of those things that we need to discuss because it's so seldom discussed. Trans people and non-binary conforming people are pushed to the margins of our society. We are not talked about, we are not heard about, unless we are the butt of jokes. And in that, we find violence against trans people everywhere. It is the insidious voice of our culture telling you that you are wrong, that you are wrong at your very core, because we all know that there are but two genders, and they are distinct, and they are natural, and you fall into one of the two clearly. If you are trans, or if you are non-binary gender conforming, this can be devastating. Add to that the incredible amount of bullying directed towards adolescents that don't fit within those rigidly defined binary lines of gender, and we get the stunningly astronomical statistics for suicide amongst trans people, especially trans youth. The more direct and obvious to the casual observer, violence might be a hurled epithet. It could be a menacing tone, an overt threat of physical harm. It could be physical harm itself, including murder. For most trans people, the experience of external harassment is a near daily experience, even in a little liberal place like Portland. In the wake of far too many attacks and deaths, we turn our attention to transphobia this morning, exposing it for the patriarchy-propping, anti-human, bigoted stance that it is. From the tragic suicide of Leela Alcorn in January, to the suspicious death and likely murder of prominent trans woman Sumaya Dalmar in Toronto earlier this week, we must discuss and name the dynamics of transphobia and anti-trans bigotry. And we must work together to eradicate it, delivering another blow to the Hydra that is, in fact, patriarchy. So that's how I am interested in framing today's discussion. Lynn is making frantic motions with her hands that Teresa is missing right now, saying that she can hear Teresa's pencil scritching the page.
You don't think it makes good ambience?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, I'm doing a little
it does make
cross
ambience.
The table interpretation. Because I got to say, the interpretive dancing in Studio 2 this morning is something.
You have to know that like to dancing. Be on radio. Okay, but that's not on our subject.
But what we were saying here then is there's transphobia, and it acts as a tool of reinforcement for the patriarchy. It, in fact, is a part of what keeps sexism going. And the way it does that is by very, very rigidly reinforcing and defining binary gender role. So that's my premise for this morning. And I also guess, in the interest of full disclosure, I kept saying we. I do not identify as a transgender person. I am not transgender.
And yet?
I do not conform to binary gender role, however. People who would like to have those very prescribed roles would find me, in fact, lacking. Because I don't, that's not me. I am a full person. I am beyond gender role. I identify as a girl. I use girl pronouns. born a girl, like being a girl, I'm a girl. And the heck with those prescribed gender roles that tell me how I can dress, how I can look, how I can act, how I can be in this world. So I do consider myself non-binary conforming, but I am not transgender. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Since we do not have video in the studio yet.
And I'm not sure video would really necessarily get that understanding across. I just, you know, in the interest of disclosure, wanted to throw that in. So, Teresa, over to you. We were just talking about the experience of harassment, the experience of violence that trans people face in a daily way. You know, even in a progressive, liberal, quote, accepting, offbeat and funky, kind of bohemian little place like Portland. As somebody who is, in fact, out in the public quite a lot, this is a part of your daily experience. Can you talk to our listeners about that?
Sure. Well, let's see. I guess I'll start when I first transitioned. I was pretty clumsy about it and wasn't sure exactly how to go about it. So I didn't have someone helping me either. And so those of you who are listening to me who have transitioned are probably thinking, oh, here comes the horror. And you'd be right. I, tried to do with makeup and dresses what I couldn't do with my voice or my gestures. There was so much to be learned, and I just decided I would plunge right in because I am anti-patriarchy. I view the gender binary construction under patriarchy to be very constrictive and even dehumanizing and destructive to creative thought and destructive to communities. So I just thought, well, I'm going to do it, and by golly, I'm just going to put a big smile on my face, and oh my God. And that was, let's see now, gosh. That was April 2001, so it was all those years ago. And the noise, the violence, the threats, people... I remember one guy hurled himself on me, and I hurled him off the bus. And I remember another guy...
Well, we should say that you get to be exposed to a larger quantity of the human population because you are a bus driver.
Yeah, I'm a bus driver, and I explained that I hurled him off the bus.
There might be four people out there that are listening audience that don't know that. You are a listening audience that don't know that.
And I remember another guy sat on me and got right at me, and as it happens, well, if you just get in the wrong place, I managed to get him off the bus too rather swiftly, and so I wasn't hurt. But there was another time in which I was confronted by a couple of business owners a few years ago. Gosh, it's been, what was that? Was that 05, 06?
It was 06, but carry on.
And they were just utterly offended that I, a transgender person, should be looking into a shop window in a building that they leased to the shop window person. So they started threatening my job. They threatened me with a gun. And they had such access to the local prosecutor that they were able to get me taken in and charged with, they're trying to put me down for 10 years for resisting. And whatever they were trying to get from me yelling back, they were trying to make that into an assault. And I got to experience all that. And there's so much more to say about that, but I think maybe you get the picture. It's been rough. But I want to say that lately, and I think due to Hollywood, really, due to more or less acceptable trans figures showing up in the media, none of which I've actually seen, people have gotten more comfortable with the idea of a transgender person. But there does seem to be an idea in the general population that, whereas it's not, for most people, don't feel it's appropriate or their business to actively oppress a male to female transgender person, neither will they stand up for someone when they are being harassed. Let's see, what was it? Monday, I guess. Someone called me a queer on the bus, and it kind of caught me by surprise, and I wasn't sure that he'd actually said it because he just said queer and walked away. This after he showed me a bogus ticket. I was giving him a ride. I was doing him a favor. And later when he got off the bus, he yells, thank you, sir. So then I knew, okay, yeah, he did say queer. But the interesting thing about that is not that there's still the occasional person who will just go off loudly against me for who I am and what I am, but that everyone turns their head away and there is not one peep ever to object to that, or, you know, heaven forfend, to defend me. So that's what it's like these days. And on top of that, there is the mumbling. I get a lot of sirs, actually. And the mistaken sirs, I don't mind. You know, I'm not always on top of my game when I'm trying to show my chosen gender. And so that's going to happen. And that, a lot of that has to do with the way I hold myself and whether I use the voice that I often use when I'm driving the bus. And, you know, so that's a little stressful, but it's not the same as when people are just angry and they want to show that they reject me. They do this in various ways. The scowling, oh my God, the stink eye, has over the years, day after day, year after year, seeing so many people give me such an angry and disgusted look. It's something that I've had to seek therapy and take drugs for. So yeah, it's still going on, and that's what it's like driving the bus as a tranny.
You are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio. We are talking about gender today. We have Teresa Mitchell, KBOO radio host, it's a transgender woman, and we would like to hear phone conversation. We would like you to phone in 503-231-8187 with your experiences, questions, comments, because we want to talk about that. This shall not stand. This has to. It seems like it is the front line of smashing patriarchy to smash gender binary gender identification, and it just seems the more rigid. I just had this vision of Fox News and all the women in their blonde straight hair and the guys in their suits and short hair and rigidly. I mean, so in some ways it's bending and breaking this very strict code of what you're supposed to, who you're supposed to be, look like, and think like. And in other ways, it seems to be strengthening. I mean, it's like it's very, very, very divisive at this point. And
oh, and
both
there's
sides
a backlash definitely brewing up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Brewing or,
well,
or lashing as we speak.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Florida, Texas, and Kentucky are proposing bills. The legislatures are proposing bills that are just absolutely viciously anti-trans. The Republican state senator for Kentucky has proposed a bill that would offer students money if they report trans students found in the appropriate bathrooms for their gender. They would get money for calling out someone just trying to use the john. Texas is proposing jail time.
Your home state.
Yes.
Well, where you're from, this is here.
Yeah, the Texas legislature is working on a bill that would provide jail time, arrest and jail time for and fines for someone like me going into the women's restroom. And my name's Teresa. And it says, you know, and the way they do it is, since Texas never lets you change your birth gender, that would be part of the, that's part of how they define it. So that, you know, I've got my my passport and my driver's license and my, you know, my various documents refer to me as female, as Teresa, and that wouldn't matter. They could still put me in jail in Texas for, you know, getting right off the plane and using the john, that's it. So guess who's not going to Texas to see her relatives?
Oh, well, good excuse.
And, you know, and yet this is the sort of stuff we find. And, you know, again, we are now in a state-by-state thing. There's so much in this country right now that is state-by-state, right? There's the whole queer marriage issue. There's the struggle for recognition of transgenderism. And I mean, it's just on and on. We could, you know, there's the marijuana laws. There's, it's an interesting dynamic right now in this country, I gotta say. We have bases loaded. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning if you would like to join us on the air. Please do that. Also, I want to let you know, you can follow us on Facebook We do post articles throughout the week, and I'm always interested in your feedback and thoughts on things that are positively revolting that you'd like us to cover. So our fan page on Facebook is Positively Revolting, and you can like us there and follow us. We are 12 people shy of that 500 mark milestone. I'd be really excited if we hit it personally.
Hell yeah.
And also on the Twitterverse, you can follow us at Positive Revolt.
As many people have.
And a little aside, you know, this is the 21st, this month is the 21st anniversary of Positively Revolting.
Oh, wow. It's of age now.
It is of age. You know, the show can go out for a drink and probably should.
Your just saying. Mother eats sponge cake.
You know, I was but a child when I started it, I swear.
She was 12.
And with that, let's go ahead and take our first caller.
Garrett, do you have a question?
What role do you think just the authoritarian mindset has to play in all of this? Because I'm not transgender, but as an Aspie, I have found that we really do have the same enemies. I've always been told things like, why don't you just be yourself? And I am being myself, but I'm not being what I'm expected to be. I don't think the way I'm expected to think. And it's always the same kinds of people, the same narcissistic, closed-minded, I want everything black or white and no color in between kind of people.
That's an interesting observation, Garrett. I think that it's an interesting thing that I probably need to think about a lot longer. There's different dynamics for sure, but just the whole authoritarian mindset, that the people who believe that they are, quote, with the winning program, and somehow or another, hey, buddy, you're not. So you have to get on the side.
There's a lot of fear in that.
Yeah, there is.
There's huge quantities of fear, of which there's so things are topsy-turvy right now, and you can either ride the wave or try to stop the wave. I don't know why that just popped out of my mouth, that analogy, but it's change happens, and this is going to non-binary identification of gender, and for you, just being able to be who you are, which when you bring up issues for people, they get scared, and not your fault.
They want to shut down.
Yeah.
It's like if I present something that might require thought, I get an anger response. And I've never really understood it until I started taking psychology at Mount Hood Community College. And then I started to understand that it's an aversion to thought. And at the same time, it seems to be an interplay between narcissism and codependent people, because I've never...
You have been taking psychology classes.
I've never actually respected authority the way people think I should respect authority. And I'll understand that someone's in charge, and I'll do what I think they expect, but I don't give the social mannerisms that you would normally see in an abused animal.
Sure.
Therefore, I don't respect authority.
Right.
Well, hey, Garrett, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Bye.
Really interesting stuff to ponder. And I will go off and ponder that well, I promise. And let's go ahead and talk to Amy. Good morning, Amy. You're on the air.
How are you all?
Hello.
Excellent.
Okay. I think Garrett made a good point, because it's you don't have to be transgender to be loathed. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, gosh, you know, it's funny that I feel very loathed by people, and it's because I have an independent mind. So one thing I do, and I'm bringing this up because I think it would be nice to offer a solution, because it's really daunting to notice all the terrible things in the world. I always want to know, well, what can we do? So one thing I do is I try and remember that when a person has a problem that's not my problem, I don't internalize it. And I know that from hearing Teresa, I identify with how you're perceiving, because you're really sensitive and you do perceive these things and they are happening, but you have to remember that it's not about you, it's about them. And the fact that we're on the fringe for whatever reason, That's the part that is on the edge.
Sure.
The hole, you know, the hole, it should be good cloth, but it's not.
Hey, and, Amy, I hear you. I'm going to go ahead and counter you just a little bit.
Okay.
I agree. I mean, that's just generally that is the advice one gives as the teaspoon of antidote to bullies everywhere. It's not about you. Don't take it in. It's right. not about you. It is a reflection on that person and their small-mindedness. Right. I was raised hearing that like a mantra. And by and large, it's true. And it's still lacking when one is bullied every day of their lives.
Or murdered.
Saying, just don't take it personally.
Well,
you know,
that.
But
murdered, that's a different thing.
Let me go on for just a moment. So I get you. It's good advice. It is true that it reflects on the bigot and not the person who's being oppressed. And yet, in transphobic situations, violence ensues, right? The physical violence, beatings, that kind of enforcement of rigid gender role definition and defining. Beatings, domestic violence, inter-family violence, trying to make that kid right. Abuse at home and school. 19% of people who identify as transgender or gender nonconforming have experienced domestic violence at the hands of a family member because of their identity. Of those who expressed a transgender identity or gender nonconformity in grade school or high school, 78% experienced harassment and the other 12% were lying about it. 35% experienced physical assault. 5% were physically assaulted by teachers or staff, other adults. 31% of the kids were harassed by teachers or staff, the adults in the school that are supposed to be protecting them. 12% experienced sexual violence. 3% of them reported that as being perpetrated by teachers and staff. And that's like in our early ages. 29% of transgender people and gender nonconforming people report being harassed or treated disrespectfully by police officers. And again, I'm going to say the vast majority of the other 70% of those folks haven't interacted with police officers or are in deep denial. So that's just like the part that you can't really just say, oh, that's really more about you, because in fact, it's our lives on the line. It's not just our self-esteem. Self-esteem actually gets into our lives too, but that's, you know, that's a whole nother thing. The last place I wanted to take that was when, you know, I'm quirky. I've always been a little quirky. You know, I'm a little eccentric. I dress a little artsy. All of these things are ways that I express my nonconformity in general. And it's a lot easier to keep that in mind. It's about them. It's not about you. When it's on that level, when it's actually about your gender identity, that's at your core being. It is your most sensitive and intimate place, right? And so when people attack that, that's way harder to brush off.
And especially when it's constant.
And constant.
Oh, I know it's constant, but I want to say that the statistics and all the violence, it's you know, that's a huge wave of human violence that you just
that was barely scratching the surface. I've got pages of this.
I know. And here's something. I've been dragged across parking lots with cops from Chicago.
Sure.
And I've been raped. And there have been violent things that have happened to me.
Yes.
Okay, so I know this world is full
yes.
of mean and horrible things.
Yes.
But the fact is, because there's such violence in this world, and you don't have to be a transgender person to experience violence. You just have to be a human being, because human beings, look at what we're doing.
It's true, and yet this show specifically this morning.
I'm not just saying, oh, it's on them. I'm saying you have to fight every step of the way, but the one thing that no one can take from you is your own. That's yours.
Thank you, Amy.
That's what I mean.
I hear you. This show this morning is, in fact, focusing on transphobic violence. We talk about other types of violence, and they are all interconnected, and they are
yes,
all wrong.
They are.
But right now, we are focusing on transphobic violence because it's not talked about very often. And I very much thank you for your call.
I really thank you. About that.
I'm sorry?
I said, I'm happy to hear that.
Grand. Thank you very much for your call, Amy. It's very good to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, thanks.
Take good care.
Can I jump in and just kind of reframe that? Been talking about what it's been like for me. I've really had it easy as a trans compared to other trans women, and especially compared to trans women of color. I really think that the greater frame is economic exclusion. You can't get a job. Housing exclusion? No, you can't have that apartment. Police violence? Oh, yes, in so many ways, personally, that I have experienced. Suicide, murder, beatings, rape. I went into a restroom. You know, it centers on the restrooms often as not. Went into the restroom in a very friendly place recently. Might as well call it out. It was New Seasons. And everything went just fine. But, you know, because of what I've experienced, because of what it's like being transgender in the society, even in Portland, even in that safe kind of place, even in a safe part of town, more or less for me, I'm very careful when I open the door, because that's where they pound you. That's where they're waiting for you. That's where they knock you down. I look carefully when I open the door. And the statistics have been compiled, and at the age of 56, I am 24 years past the statistical lifespan. I am 24 years older than the average transgender person, whether they have hormones, whether they've had the operation or not. But to be transgender is to statistically live to around 32.
And that keeps in consideration suicides, again, huge amongst trans youth, as youth. You know, it's never easy going through adolescence. It's never easy trying to figure out
that hell trip at best.
You know, that transition between child and adult as a sexual being and trying to figure out who you are in this world. Well, when your self-concept does not match what the world tells you your gender is, that is so much harder. And when you have parents who reinforce that and maybe follow some deity that does not approve, as is the tragic case of Leela Alcorn, the trans youth who killed herself in January, citing that her parents would never accept her, that they had taught her all about how wrong she was through their Christian faith.
Yeah, and sent her off to places to especially, you know, to deprogram her.
Right, to make her right. That brings down the life expectancy hugely. You know, that is, you know, making it through your teens as a trans person is already a victory. And that's wrong, right? We should not have to have that kind of fortitude. We, you know, it's important to support all youth and to support youth coming into their own. Because really, as Lynn said, hell trip at best, no matter who you are.
Well, and the suicide rate for teenagers is gigantic anyway, but I would assume in the trans community,
for
it's queer like huge.
Youth, for queer youth, even higher, and for trans youth, even higher still.
Yeah.
Right, so 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can jump on in with us this morning in this conversation. We hope that you do. Also, follow us on Facebook, where we try very hard to get to 500 fans on Facebook.
Help us do that. You can do it, people.
It's so arbitrary.
With your help, we can have that.
It feels good to me. I don't know. And so that's Facebook/Positively Revolting. You can also follow us on the Twitverse @Positive Revolt.
The Twitters.
We have had a caller make the comment that they cannot believe that Portland is still like this and does not understand because she is from San Francisco. And apparently there's a lot more acceptance in San Francisco. I know that when I was in the Bay Area a while back, I mean, it's been 15 years, it is the only place on the planet I have ever found that makes me feel a little like, wow, I might be from a rural area. I'm a little bumpkin-y. So More power to you, San Francisco. I would probably say that if we were trans in San Francisco, we might feel that there's still some oppression there. I don't think that Nirvana exists yet on this plane. But we work for it every day. 503-231-8187, the number to call to join us on the air, just like Chris has done. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
I really appreciate the show. You know, I have a lot to learn about, you know, transgender and gender identity. You know, I grew up pretty, you know, heteronormative. And even, you know, as a young adult, became a very committed Christian. But even in that, being a person of color, I was, you know, always kind of at odds with certain aspects of the religion in suburbia. They expected me to look a certain way and be a certain way. And so I was always questioning and trying to challenge that. But all that aside, I just really want to say that as a person of color, and listening, Teresa, to your story this morning was really powerful. And just hearing so many parallels that, you know, people of color faced in the past. The things that we've seen done to them, you know, the historic footage of, you know, the March on Selma and the dogs being unleashed on children. And to think that there's any group of people that are experiencing any kind of oppression in this country or anywhere is really heartbreaking. And so I just wanted to call up and express solidarity with you and to say that, when I hear you speak, I believe you, even if I don't fully understand. And I'm eager to learn and to understand more perspectives. And all lives matter. And regardless of who we are and where we come from, nobody deserves to die or to be discriminated against or to be mistreated for any reason. We all just need to work harder to understand each other. And when there's something that we don't understand about somebody else, that's when we have an opportunity to listen so that we can learn instead of assuming and trying to force our ideas onto other people.
So, grateful for your solidarity.
Yeah, man. And so thank you. Thank you guys for this show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a great day.
Take care. You too. Let's go ahead and move on to Robin, shall we?
Sure.
Again, you know, it's a topic we don't touch on very often. I'm not sure why. You know, which I should ponder this more. But we sure are talking about it today, talking about transphobic violence in our lives in the face of the recent suspicious death, probable murder of a prominent trans woman in Toronto earlier this week, Samaya Dalmar. Also, the recent suicide of Leela Alcorn, highlighting the tragedy of trans youth in trying to just make it to adulthood in a world full of hatred. Let's go ahead and talk to Robin. As, again, the bases are loaded and we want to include you in this conversation, give us a call now, 503-231-8187. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having this be your topic this morning. And Teresa, I'm a longtime listener. I listen to you almost every morning. So that's, it's awesome hearing your voice. And let's see, I'm trans too. I came out to myself about 5 years ago and started transitioning about 2 years ago. It's funny you mentioned New Seasons earlier because I have a lot of experiences with New Seasons employees and looking at my ID and seeing what it says underneath the gender marker and then my appearance and stuff. I don't really meet too many trans people like me. I'm agender, so I'm not
right.
Male or female, which makes stuff pretty hard, I guess, especially going to the bathrooms. That's way too stressful to deal with most of the time. Just the general looks and stuff that, like, I don't know, people give me. And I don't know, Portland's really seen as like a liberal city, but like, I don't know, to me,
scratch underneath, yeah. And you see something else.
I want to thank you for bringing up the point that not everyone wants to check one box or the other.
Yeah.
I think that is huge. It is so important. There are cultures historically and globally that have recognized four genders, that have recognized in the teens, that have recognized, I remember one recognizing over 30 genders. Wow. This blows my mind, and I like thinking about this stuff a lot. You know, so the way that our society, the way that Western civ has constructed gender over, you know, our history is so limited compared to how other people have. So more power to you for refusing to define yourself as something you don't feel, and for really holding to that. Thank you, Robin.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. And again, yeah, thank you for having this be your topic this morning.
You're welcome, Robin. Thanks for calling. You know, I have a little bathroom thing. The first time I went to Europe, I was in the bathroom at the airport, and it was a uni. And, you know, the stalls go all the way to the floor. No one seemed to have any problems with that whatsoever. Everybody just went to the bathroom. There's a little bathroom keeper woman there who handed out towels and things like that. And there was no need to have gender-defined bathrooms.
Go fig.
They all see. Everyone seemed to be. No one was losing their minds or their identities or anything else.
I just
went to the bathroom.
Go figure.
Hello, they had to pee.
But let's think about for a minute the reasons that are hurled at us for, you know, how we have to keep trans people out of bathrooms of a gender that is not matching.
You know, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, they're pretending that it's dangerous.
Stories
have been made up out of whole cloth about women who have been, you know, frightened and attacked in bathrooms. The Pacific Justice Institute was one such organization that was actually putting out these stories, which were accepted, and of course by Fox News, but it even got into the mainstream media about some fellow walking around in a women's restroom naked, saying with his erection showing, and it never even came close to happening. It was entirely made up, and yet this is what is used to attack transgender people and to stir up fears that people like me who actually. It's hard to describe how I idolize women because I always wanted to be one, right? And the idea that I would go into a women's restroom to oppress them is just absurd, and it doesn't happen
this is where I'm going to get into the whole violence against women is extremely real, right? Women are attacked in this country. It happens. This is a topic that Lynn and I actually talk about quite a lot. But we're not attacked by trans people.
Thank you.
That's not it.
And I can't think of reading all the reading I did this week why I never read about that one.
You know, and in Europe, as Lynn was saying, apparently not such an issue. And I just have to say, smokescreen, right? Frickin' smokescreen. So whenever you hear about bathrooms and how we need to deal with them in our new multigendered world, please get with it and understand that uni bathrooms or just uni bathroom. What the heck is wrong with a uni bathroom? I just want to know. Well, okay. Having an attendant actually clean it would be a good thing if we're going to do uni bathrooms. I'm just, you know, that's what I'm going to say. And I'll leave it at that because it's 8:44 in the morning and you're listening to KBOO, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn, my co-host, and Teresa Mitchell, Trans About Town, as well as a KBOO producer and my main squeeze. With that, we invite your calls on anti-trans violence and transphobia. We're naming it, and then really, how do we get rid of it? How do we evolve? How do we move past it? And how do we support each other in the meantime?
You know, what I would like to see is the same sort of reaction that I've seen, for example, on my bus. When someone uses the N-word, someone else is quite likely to say, hey, that's not okay. And I would like to see when I'm obviously and pointedly misgendered or called queer just once. It hasn't happened in the last 16 years I've been driving the bus, but no, it has happened once.
I was going to say, wait, it's happened.
It has happened once by someone who was a very famous, for us, volunteer here, objected and said, hey, it's not okay. And you know, and something else is boiling underneath me, too, Lynn and Ani. There's only an hour, but men get ripped off by this whole
gender binary. And now there's only 13 binary. Minutes. I'm just going to say.
Men get ripped off by this whole gender binary. It isn't just women. I mean, it's primarily women who suffer the violence of patriarchy, of course, but men don't get to be fully themselves. They don't get to express tenderness. They don't get to express anxiety. They don't get to express concern. They don't even know how. And that's because of this, you know, grotesquely exaggerated binary. And it's really, it's the pain and the alienation of that binary that causes, that's the root of the anger that boils up against transgender people. It's like, you're not obeying yep. the rules that are so painful, you know, for me that, you know, as a cisgender person has to really box themselves in. And when you see someone breaking those rules, man, it makes you madder than hell.
So with that, actually, I do want to talk a little bit about that denial. There's a really good book. It's old. It's really old now. And you can, therefore, find it online for free.
Cheap.
It is, no, for free. It's now posted to a website. It's not that long. Suzanne Farr wrote it in the 90s. I'm going to say early 90s. Suzanne Farr wrote a book called Homophobia as a Weapon of Sexism. You can find it online. You can find it used at your, you know, favorite used book purveyors. But you can, it has a lot going on for it. It's a little dated in places. Okay, fine. So are we all. But I want to throw this in there. She asked the question in that book, what will the world be like without homophobia? For everyone, for female and male, whatever your sexual identity. And proceeded to come up with a list of how she thinks the world would be different. And I agree that it would, in fact, be different in these ways, and it has direct bearings to transphobia and rigid gender role socialization. Here are some answers that women had given to her in workshops across the country. Kids wouldn't be called tomboys or sissies. They would just be who they were, able to do as they wish. People would be able to love anyone, no matter what sex. The issue would simply be whether or not he or she is a good human being, compatible and loving. Affection will be opened up between women and men, women and women, men and men. It wouldn't be centered on sex. People wouldn't fear being called names if they show affection to someone who is not a mate or a potential mate. If all affection is opened up, isolation will break down for all of us, especially for those who generally experience little physical affection, such as unmarried old people. Women will be able to work whatever jobs we want without being labeled masculine. And I'm going to go ahead and throw in the corollary. Yeah. Men would be able to work whatever jobs they wanted without being labeled feminine.
Woo-hoo.
And we also should probably look at unpacking why is what's labeled masculine valued more than what's labeled feminine? Think of salaries between plumbers and teachers. Okay, I digress. Back to the text, there will be less violence if men do not feel that they have to prove and assert their manhood, which, let's face facts, is socially constructed. Their desire to dominate and control will not spill over from the personal to the level of national and international politics and the use of bigger and better weapons to control other countries. And again, I'm going to throw in there, and neither will the women that decide to play in that system. Thank you, Hillary. People will wear whatever clothes they wish, with the priority being comfort rather than display of femininity or masculinity. There will be no gender roles.
Or fun. They will be able to wear clothes just for fun.
For fun. I did post most of my essay today to my Facebook page, and there was a comment from someone who said that they wanted to quibble just a little bit because maybe some people want to express themselves in terms of masculinity and femininity. And to that I say, no worries. Do it. Be He-Man. Be Mae West. Be, you know, whoever. It doesn't matter.
I find that stunning that should be, I mean, that
it's
is
a little
part
point of
of
quibble.
Well, no, but it's also a part of just the extreme socialization of what that. But what if I want to be? Well, no, no, that's not.
That's groovy.
Yeah,
we're
no
just
one was saying,
don't
not,
enforce it for the rest of us.
No one was saying not.
Yeah, right. And he actually acknowledged there at the end, I realize no one's saying I can't do this, which I loved. I don't know this person, but thank you very much for commenting on the Facebook post, because I love that dialogue.
You know,
carry on.
All right. Well, I was thinking of a conversation I heard one time between my sweetie and a friend of his, and the friend was whose wife was expecting a child, and he was really happy to find out it was a girl. Because so they're telling me about how men are constantly on guard, constantly wanting, you know, having to go up. I don't even know how to explain this.
Compete?
Well, it's a competition thing. Yeah, one up each other, and that it's this constant piece of tension. And I don't know why I had lived so long and no one had talked to me about that, but I was appalled. I hope that, I mean, to me, that is one of the worst things about gender identification, too, that people should have to be in that sort of tension just to, I suppose some people as women feel that, but I just have never.
Well, let me see if I understand what you were saying. So he was really glad that it was going to be a girl because he didn't want to have a boy in the family to compete with?
No, that he didn't want a child of his to have to go through what men go through.
Ah.
I thought that was an interesting comment. And I had just never, no one had explained that to me about men before, because that's something that I just didn't get. Maybe I don't get it now. I don't know. I know.
I don't know. I'm going to say, coming up this morning on KABU at 9 o'clock, One Land, Many Voices presents excerpts from Occupation, Environmental Destruction, and the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. It's a panel discussion on international resistance held this week in Portland. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15 on Flashpoints, journalist Mara Stevens discusses ongoing issues with fracking and related oil infrastructure across the country. Osha Newman, attorney for the poor, talks about police brutality against the homeless. And activist Tony Diaz discusses the fight against the banning of books and ethnic studies in Arizona and Texas. And at 11 o'clock on the Radio Zine, host Jimmy Tardy talks with Daryl Davis, world-class musician and owner of a closet full of Klan hoods and robes that were bequeathed to him when their previous owners decided to renounce the Klan. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. If you are not a KABU member, you can, in fact, take care of that right this very moment by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Not tomorrow.
Today. Do it now. Just do it.
Do
now,
we get to talk about...
Now is all we have.
Do we get to talk about trans-exclusionary radical feminists?
Yes, we've got 3 minutes to do it.
Are you speaking of Janice Raymond?
Well, yeah, Janice Raymond and the whole group, Deep Green Resistance, people who have this... people who believe that the only real women are those who were born with a vagina and double X chromosomes, and they wish to completely enforce the classic gender binary, supporting gender essentialism. And some radical feminist, second wave feminist, and lesbian feminist, political lesbian groups are known to contain trans exclusionary radical feminists, and they've spoken out against transphobia and transmisogyny within their groups. So they don't. You know, want to be ugly about it, but when you get right down to it, they don't want to allow you into the restroom either, and they're perfectly happy to stand with the legislature. Some of these rules I was talking about that are coming up in the legislatures in Kentucky, Texas, and Florida are supported by trans-exclusionary radical feminists.
I know I was looking that up, the transsexual empire, up on the Wikipedia, and some of the logic is interesting, that transsexuals may cut off the most obvious means of invading women so that they can seem non-invasive, that they see it as rape. And I thought, what?
But they steal our identity and possibly eat our souls. I am so sick of them. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't want to spend too much time on
them. I want to squeeze one more caller in. Let's talk to Harvey. Good morning. You have just a couple minutes.
Well, hi, Lynn and Teresa and Ani. The thing is that we're conditioned to think of each other as the other. And I think this is a slap in the face of creation. Variety is the spice of life. If everyone was the same, it would be so boring. And I think we need a shift of consciousness here, more toward the quantum, because in the realm of the quantum, there is something called entanglement. And if the universe sprang forth from a primordial atom, then we're all entangled, and this is a new consciousness that has to come up, because even Stephen Hawking said that the world is in peril right now. We need less division and more empathy. This
you are so very right.
This doesn't just deal with sexual. This is the whole world. This is like atom bombs, you know. With religion, you know, they're always trying to prove our God is the right God and we'll kill you if it's not. And so I think that...
It flies in the face of quantum physics, doesn't it?
Right. We have to get away from Newtonian physics when we think of each other as separate, and we have to move toward quantanglement, and that's the key. Variety.
Quantanglement is
life.
Yes. Thank you very much, Harvey. You speak my language. Quantanglement has to be my new favorite word. And I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
The quark in me salutes the quark in you.
And while we're at it, should you ever see transphobic harassment in front of you, remind the person who is mouthing off that we are, in fact, all one. And let's squeeze Chris in.
It's science.
Good morning, Chris. Oh, okay. We don't have Chris because, in fact, we thought we were completely out of time. And really? We're
really close to that. We're very close to that.
I was just on a roll. But we thank you very much for listening. And I think that is actually where I want to end it today. As Teresa was saying, in her years of bus driving, one, maybe two people, because there was another time you told me about, but the fact that I can remember two times that you have said somebody has stood up for you during transphobic harassment, yeah, that's sad, right? Because this is a near daily occurrence.
Richard Francis stood up for me on a bus.
Yes.
Oh.
Go, Richard. Rest in power. But that all said, you know, when you are seeing somebody harassed, no matter what the base of that harassment is, if it's, you know, transphobic harassment, if it's racist harassment, if it's classist harassment, if it's sexist harassment, please interrupt it. Be an ally, get some nerve about you, and disrupt oppressive behavior.
Thank you.
All right.
And stay positively revolting.
It's like, wow.
Because that's a good way to do that. That's
yes.
A very good way to do that.
It is. And while we're at it, like us on Facebook, won't you?
Get us up to 500. Click on that.
Do it. Just do it. And you can follow us in the Twitverse at Positive Revolt. Also, you can always email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. With that, we make way. Thank you very much for listening. Again, this is the 21st anniversary month for Positively Revolting, started in February of 94. And I just want to thank Lynn, who has been my co-host now starting, International Women's Day, we call that next week, for, I think this is your fifth year.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Yeah. So happy anniversary.
Seems like I've always done it. Okay. Thank
to
you.
Us all. And to all of you.
And thank you, Kristen, for being our engineer.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
Thank you.
KABU is a proud sponsor with Runaway Productions of Northwest Hip Hop Fest 4, February 27, 2015 at the Hawthorne Theater, 1507 Southeast 39th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. Bad Habitat, Tope, Speaker Minds, Mike Crenshaw, Kinetic MCs, Glenn Waco, Pale Soul, Flowmatic, Diction, Destro, Gums, Soul Miner,